Clean contact.
I'd hit it again because that shot was a defining moment. And when a defining moment comes along, you define the moment, or the moment defines you.
Here it comes.
Jansen Misurek, lead coach of the golf practice.
Hi, Andy. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. What was your most memorable round of 2018?
Most memorable round of 2018 would have to be when I got the opportunity to play Old Elm Golf Club here in Highland Park.
Old Elm. I've heard stories. I've seen pictures. How did you get this opportunity?
So it was at the end of the summer, and Wyatt Harris, who's a former member of our M360 and now playing golf at DePaul University. He used to caddy out there, and so he's allowed to bring a few guests out every year on Mondays when the club is closed. And we teed off, I think, at 5 p.m., and we were able to play. So I played with Wyatt, Chris, and Patrick Flavin, who is a former D1 golfer at the school that Danny's going to go play for, which is University of Ohio, right?
University of Miami, Ohio.
Miami, Ohio, that's what it is. Yeah, so some really good players in that group. It was really fun, and the golf course was phenomenal.
What did you shoot?
73.
Was that your low round of the year?
It was not, but it was one of the lower rounds. But the reason why that one sticks out to me was, one, that golf course, just the opportunity to be able to play it is enough alone. It doesn't really matter about like what you shoot, just the architecture out there and how just private and knowing the people that have been out there before was really cool. But also just the way I was able to kind of handle myself in that round was really cool. I'd never seen that course before, and it's very challenging, and to shoot a good number on that course was cool.
Yeah, what's so good about the course?
The green complexes. The green complexes are, luckily, we got it on a pretty soft condition day. I can only imagine how difficult it is in, like, tournament conditions. Everything around the greens is very tightly mown and very defined edges, but at the same time, it has kind of a links-style look to it. There's lots of mounds and bowls and gullies that you can use to shape the ball to get it close to the hole locations, but then also that can really mess you up too.
Yeah, I'd imagine. Do you have a most memorable shot or hole that you played from that day?
There were a few. So we teed off at 5 and we were walking, and we played the first 9 holes relatively quick, and we made the turn and it was getting dark really fast. And so the last 4 holes we played in like pitch dark black.
Okay.
So I would say that on the last hole, it's a short par 4. I hit 3-wood off the tee, and we were literally aiming at a light in the distance that was the clubhouse. And Patrick and Wyatt were like, aim, you know, just a little bit right of that, and you'll be good. And I hit a 3-wood, and I smack it. I hit it really, really good, but, like, I just had the feeling that it went hard left. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm not going to find this. So I'm looking left. Wyatt's way to the right in the middle of the fairway, and he walks up on a ball, and he goes, title is 3. I was like, no way. And it was like 40 yards in front of the green, right in the middle. And I'm like, wow, there's no way that's mine. But it was. And then I was able to pitch it up there pretty close and two putt from my par to finish in the dark.
Wow.
So that was kind of a cool way to finish. Other than that, it wasn't like any shots or things that stuck out. It was just a very steady round and fun pace.
How did Chris play?
Chris played really well on the back 9, but that was like one of his only rounds he got to play over the summer. So
yeah, he never plays golf.
He never plays. He it was a little bit of a rusty start, but he was my partner, and he made up for it on the back.
So it was you and Chris versus A D3 golfer and a D1 golfer?
Yeah, they smoked us.
Did that match even last like 10 holes or was it just over right away?
I don't think we really kept score too long, but it was fun. We were just doing it just to be a little competitive and just have some fun.
So it was one of those matches that you start off on the first tee thinking it's going to be a good idea, but after hole 4, no one talks about it again because it's pretty clear which way it's going to go.
But Patrick was actually competing for the course record during that round. I think he ended up shooting 65. He was really, really playing well. I can't remember exactly how deep he was. I think he made a bogey on number 14, and that kind of stopped him cold a little bit, and he had a couple pars coming in.
So but, probably was 66.
Yeah, 60, yeah. I think he shot 65.
Oh, 65.
64, 65.
Disappointing, you know,
disappointing.
With that bogey.
Yeah.
Too bad.
That
what
kid
could
is
have
a
been?
Player.
Must be a tough life.
I know.
Having to have that happen to you, but it's okay. All right. Where is Old Elm?
Old Elm's on the north side of Highland Park, just kind of tucked away on the north side of the city.
How old is it?
I have the ball marker somewhere. I'm not sure. It's pretty old, and it went through a big renovation pretty recently.
Is it named after, like, a tree? Like, is there an elm tree that's, like,
is,
the old elm?
Yes.
There is.
There is a tree.
Why didn't you lead with this? This is the most fascinating thing about your thing.
The highlight was seeing the old elm tree.
What's the
tree?
Where is it?
It's on the... So I saw it, and I'm like, man, that looks just like the logo. And why it goes, all the members kind of think that that's, like, the new logo, that one, but that's not actually the old elm tree. The one that looks the most like that... The actual logo is on like the third hole, I think, and but the actual Old Elm tree is somewhere on the back nine. I can't exactly remember what hole, but
is it really big?
It's nothing special, but it's just like a good looking tree. Like I don't know how to like describe it.
Are there other old trees, or is that like the one tree? Well then, why do you think it's called Old Elm?
I don't know. I mean, these trees are like really, really old because the course is old.
Do you think a better name for the course would be Old Elms?
No.
Would it be a more fitting name? Not. It's obviously a worse sounding name, but
Old Elms. I don't know. I don't think it.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe I'm getting. It's not really that important.
No.
That's what you're saying. Okay. Okay. Well, I think that's all the questions I have. Thank you
great.
For sharing.
Absolutely.
Sounds fascinating.
Fascinating.
I'd love to be brought out there sometime, maybe. If you ever get the opportunity to invite someone.
Yeah, hopefully I get to blade again too.
Okay, thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Bye. Bye.
So Isabella Martino is next on our recap of the most famous or most memorable rounds of 2018. Isabella, what was your most memorable round of 2018?
My most memorable round would have to be regionals last year.
So regionals for what team did you play? Where did
I
this happen?
I played on Lake Forest High School's team, and regionals was at Shepherd's Crook.
Oh, I've played there. I love that course.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I ended up winning regionals.
You won? Okay.
Yeah, so that was pretty exciting for me, and through the first 12 holes, I was only one over.
You're one over?
Yeah.
Wow. Was that
I was playing really well, and it was really exciting. That was the lowest I've ever been. But then I ended up with a 78. So, I mean, the back, it got a little rough, but I still had a lot of fun, and I was playing with some girls that I knew before. So we had a lot of fun. We were talking, yet still playing the game. And it was just really cool. I just never been so, like, in the zone before and like played so well for so long, and it was really exciting.
That's awesome. So you're one over through 12 holes.
Mm-hmm.
And did you know you're one over at that point?
I didn't really realize until I made the turn, and then I was like, oh, I'm playing really well. You've got to just like just calm down, like it's okay, just don't think about it. And then I ended up bogeying the 10th hole, but
Also, you're even through nine?
I was even through nine, and then I bogeyed the 10th hole, and then I parred the next two.
Wow.
So it was kind of scary, but, I mean, I played pretty well.
And so the last six holes, do you feel like you were just, like, hanging on?
Well, Yeah, I was hanging on, but also, like, it got really windy.
Yeah, that course is hard.
And then, yeah, it's kind of, like, threw me off a little.
That par five on the back is, like, five, probably from your tees is, like, really far.
Yeah, it was rough. And it was, like, wind was coming at us, so it was, like, twice as long. It was hard.
Well, but you made it. Is that your best round you've ever shot?
No. Almost. I had a 76 earlier in the year.
Okay. Yeah. In a tournament?
Yeah, it was the first one.
but like winning regionals is more exciting.
Yeah, yeah. And I played very well in the first half, so that was very memorable. Yeah.
That's all. Do you have like a memorable shot?
So I took my 5-wood off the tee, which I used to never be able to hit.
Yeah.
And I hit it so perfectly and so pure.
Hole?
It was. What's the hole, or what hole is that long par five?
On the back nine?
Yeah. It was the one before that.
Oh, that goes up the hill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I hit it so perfectly, and it was, like, right before the green, and it was pretty
nice.
You
hit 5-wood?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's pretty cool.
And so part of this was you playing well,
mm-hmm.
why it was memorable, but also you talked about, like, the people you were with.
Yeah, the people who I was with, they were very nice. I played with them before in rounds, and, well, most of the time, like, they would beat me, and then I guess it just clicked. And
today was your day.
Yeah.
The most important, that was your most important round, like,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
up till that point.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, like, ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you won.
Yep.
Did you know you're going to win?
I didn't know until the last hole. Because one of the girls actually told me, she's like, you know, you're doing the best out of the group, so most likely that means you're going to win. And I was like, oh, no pressure.
Because you were playing with the
best
golfers.
Playing, the top girls.
Of four. It's how many teams were at regionals?
I think there were eight.
Or eight, but you were in the top four, your team.
Mm-hmm,
and so if someone from your group didn't, you know, that's a group that would win.
Yeah. And my team actually won regionals as well.
That's
so
exciting.
It was a great, great day overall.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
Anything else you want to add?
I mean, it's not always about winning. It's just having fun.
But you won, though. So you can be excited that you won.
I was excited I won. It's just like, it wasn't just that I won. I was like more happy that the team won than like I won overall. But it was.
But still, I know that's what everyone says. Like, Ryder Cup and stuff. They're like, it's all about the team. But, I mean, you won. That's awesome. I've never won a tournament in my life. I don't know what that feels like. I'm never going to win a tournament, but you actually did. That's
it was exciting.
Really cool. And that was your senior year of high school.
My senior year of high school.
And you won. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Well,
cool.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you for talking.
Thank you.
I'm here with Danny Fisher. One of the only person I know who's going to play Division I golf next year. He insists he doesn't have a memorable round of his own, even though he shot 66, got recruited, got a college scholarship, but he doesn't have a memorable round. So he is here to interview me about my memorable round. Danny, take it away.
So I guess 2018, big year for golf. What was your most memorable round you played?
My most memorable round was my first round in Scotland at North Berwick. It's technically called the West Links at North Berwick, and it was my first ever round in Scotland. I shot even par.
Really?
I birdied the last hole to shoot even par. It was a spiritual experience.
Very impressive. North Berwick, what was so exciting about it when you look back on it?
That's a good question. So I had never played golf in Scotland before, so I had no idea what to expect. You drive and you like park on this like really narrow road. They don't even have a parking lot. And somehow the course is like elevated from the road. So you get out of your car and the course is somehow above you, but it's flat. And then like past the course is the ocean. And it was just like the coolest thing ever, being able to like see out across it and having never been there before.
That's cool.
I had a caddy whose name was Andy also. It's like a perfect match. And there's so many hole one is like a 300 and 50-yard hole, but there's wind, and he told me to hit an 8-iron, and I'm like, okay, 8-iron on the first hole, but I just did it, and first hole, 8-iron, and then I hit another 8-iron, had a good caddy, and then I had this, like, downhill, like, breaking putt that was, like, 30 feet, and he told me where to aim, and I hit it on that line, and it went in first hole, and I was with these other guys, they're from England, and I was like, all right, that's
you
enough.
You were playing by yourself?
No, I was with two other guys from England.
But you didn't know them?
That I didn't know, yeah, and I was like, well, I think it can never get better than that. I was like, I'm out of here, but I played the rest of the round.
So is that your favorite hole on the course, the first hole?
No, not even close. The best hole is hole 13, and it has there's this like 800-year-old wall that goes throughout the course that some of the holes are built around.
Huh.
And so it first comes into play on hole 3. Our caddy, he told us to lay up. Like, you couldn't hit driver on hole 3 because the wall like cuts across the middle, and you don't want to get too close to the wall, so you get 3-wood. And as we were standing there waiting, there's this man in the group in front of us who all of a sudden he had a club in his hand, was just like sprinting backwards towards the tee. It's kind of a confusing thing to see on a golf course. But our caddy's like, oh, his second shot, he must have ricocheted off the wall and flew back. So that's the kind of course that this is. Cool. But hole 13, like the fairway goes out along the right side of the wall. And then on the other side of the wall is the green. So I hit driver a little bit to the right, and there's a lot of wind. I was probably like 160 out, like dead into the wind, and I hit my shot. It was a good shot right at the pin, but the wind like caught it, and it ballooned a little bit, and it was like drifting right towards the wall. And I was like, it was going to come down and slam into the wall, go who knows where.
Yeah.
But it came up, down just on the right or the left side of the wall, rolled to about 20 feet, made the birdie putt.
How many birdies did you have?
I had a lot. I was 2 under on the front nine. It goes like straight out and then straight back in. So every hole in the front nine was straight downwind. So that makes it a lot easier, hitting like mostly 9-irons and wedges into the holes. And then it flips. So the whole back nine, you're just like hanging on for dear life. Yeah. So I guess I had 4 birdies at least.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Pretty memorable.
Yeah. Really memorable. Yeah. It was awesome.
Was it the ball striking that was clicking that day? Or a little bit of everything?
Just everything. I don't know. It was
spiritual.
You're so happy to be there, and it's like, what is this place? Mm-hmm. And so there wasn't, you don't like think about like, you don't overanalyze anything. It's just you're out playing and having fun and enjoying, you know, the moment.
Hmm. It's cool.
Yeah.
Sounds like a great round.
Yeah, it was. Have you ever been to Scotland?
I've not. It's on the bucket list, though.
Do you aspire to?
Yes.
You've been watching No Laying Up videos.
I have, yeah. They've got a great series going.
Do any of them inspire you? Any of the courses they've been to?
I mean, they're just so quirky. Like, they're like 6,000 yards max, most of them that they're playing. Mm-hmm. And when they played it, I think it was like in August where it was really burnt out and dry and super fast and firm. But, yeah, it's just a different way of golf that I've never really played.
Yeah, it's so fun.
Mostly on the ground. So.
Yeah, on the ground, especially with the wind, because you'll have, like, 160 yards into a hole. It's downwind. My caddy is like, you want to hit your 130-yard shot and aim it left of the green.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, and you hit it, and it just bounces on down there.
Those caddies are so knowledgeable about the courses.
This guy was young. He's, like, 19. He, like, lived there. But the caddy was a member at the course. Like,
how does that
all
work?
These courses in Scotland... To become a member at, like, North Berwick, which is one of, like, top courses, it's, like, $2,000.
That's
which
awesome.
Is not that much. So anyone can afford to become a member at these places, and they just charge a lot of visitor fees.
Yeah, but that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Any more questions?
Did you have one best shot of the day? Just all
I
of
think
them.
It had. I mean, the most fun shot was that one on over the wall on hole 13. Sounds but maybe awesome. The best. I don't know. The best shot. Hole 18 is just like 18 at St. Andrews with like.
Oh yeah.
Like the town on the right, and it's a short par 4. It's like 270, and I hit driver. I drove just off the green, so I was able to putt, and then I 2-putted for birdie and even par. So that was a good.
Satisfying.
Yeah, good way to wrap up the day. Yeah, cool. Well, thanks for being here.
Oh, you're welcome.
You're great.
Sorry,
great.
I don't have a memorable round.
You're a better podcast host than I am.
I don't know.
Better watch
that.
Out for that. Okay, thanks. Next up, we have Lexi Schulman. Lexi, I think you're the youngest person to ever be on this podcast. Welcome.
Thanks.
How old are you?
I'm 13.
Lexi, what is your most memorable round of the last year?
My most memorable round had to be my 69 three under in October.
Wow. At what course was this at?
Pheasant Run.
And this was this in a tournament or just playing?
Tournament.
So what was the... Was it one-day tournament, two-day tournament, three-day?
It was a two-day tournament. The first day, I shot two over, 74. I was tied with the for first place. And then on the second day,
Hold
she...
Hold on. So after the you were tied with... So what age group was this tournament with?
I think 12, 15.
12 to 15?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're one of the youngest... You're in the youngest half.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. And the person you were tied with after day one...
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who is she older than you?
Yeah, I think she's 2 years older than me.
2 years older than you. Oh, is she a big rival?
Yeah.
So you play each other often in these tournaments?
Mm-hmm. The junior elite ones.
So you like had the experience of like sleeping on a tied lead.
Yeah.
Were you nervous?
Yeah.
Did you go home? Where is this course? Did you drive home?
Yeah, I drove home.
So you got to. You know, sleep in your own bed.
Yeah.
Did you have any, like, anything you did differently?
No, same thing.
Just what, like watch TV?
Yeah.
Then you get up the next day and go to tournament. Okay, so the most memorable round was the second day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so walk us through that round. What was it like?
So starting off, I was, I think, even par after three holes, and then the other girl was three under.
Oh.
So I was already down by three. And then I came back. I think we were tied after the first nine, and then we were tied going into 18, and I had to make about an 8-footer for par to beat her by one stroke.
And you made it?
Yeah.
What was that putt like? Was it straight?
A bender uphill.
Which direction?
To the right.
Oh, that's a hard putt.
Mm-hmm.
How much did it break?
About a cup to the left.
A cup?
Yeah.
And were you confident, like, going into this putt? Did you know you were going to make it?
Yeah, I was pretty confident because I made a bunch of putts before that, so I was pretty confident.
So you knew. Did you know it was going to go in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a good feeling about it.
Yeah, you're like, I would be scared to death. I wouldn't even be able to hold my putter if I had an 8-footer to win. And you knew it was to win the tournament? How did you know?
It was pretty obvious. It was, like, going back and forth and back and forth.
So it was, like, easy to know who was up one or who was down one.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, 8-footer for par. To shoot three under?
Yeah.
Wow. So you, how many birdies did you make?
I forgot, but I know this was my first eagle, too.
Oh. An eagle, too? Or an eagle also?
Yeah, eagle also.
So you made a, was that on a par five?
Yeah.
You.
I had to carry water by the green. All the other girls laid up, but I just went for it, and it went over, and then I had about a 20-footer. For eagle.
And you made it?
Mm-hmm.
And did you know that one was going to go in, too?
No.
No? You were less confident over that one?
Yeah.
Were you happy?
Mm-hmm.
Did you, like, do a big fist pump like Tiger Woods?
Nope.
No. Do you have any celebrations you do?
No.
No? Not yet?
Not yet.
You should maybe focus some of your lesson time with Chris on developing
on practicing fist pumps.
Yeah. Do you like that idea? Or do you want to just keep doing what's working for you?
Keep doing what's working.
Okay. Well, thank you. I'm trying to think if I have any other questions, but I think that sums it up. What, did you have a most memorable shot from that round? Was it the putt or something else?
It was probably the 3-wood over water.
On the par 5?
Yeah.
Was that on the front 9 or back 9?
Back 9.
Oh.
Yeah.
So this is like you're tied.
Yeah, it was a risky shot. So
why did you have a caddy?
No.
No. So you just decided yourself.
Yeah.
Did you ever think about laying up?
Mm-hmm.
And so what was going through your head?
Well, this is like my only opportunity probably to get above her. And then I picked up, I think, 2 strokes.
Wow.
That hole.
So you were just like thinking about what she was doing.
Yeah.
And did she hit before you?
She hit her layup shot before me.
And so you knew she laid up?
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the movie Tin Cup?
No.
Okay. Well, on the 18th hole, it's a par 5, and he's, like, going against one guy. Kevin Costner, and the other guy hits. He lays up because it's par five, but Kevin Costner never lays up, and he goes for it, but he hits it in the water. So, I'd encourage you to watch that movie yourself.
Okay.
I mean, you're probably better than him, so that's okay. All right. Anything else you want to add?
No.
Okay. Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Next up, we have Sam Rogers making his podcast debut. Sam is a Lake Forest High School golfer. What year are you?
I'm a junior.
A junior. Yeah. Welcome.
Thank you. Well, thanks, Sam, for having me.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure. So what was your most memorable round of 2018?
I'd have to say it was around June, and it was at Lake Bluff Golf Course, my home course for high school golf, and it was an IJGA tournament, and I shot my career low, and it was actually around. So here's the backstory of it. All I had a deal with my dad about a year or two ago, and he said that if I beat him in a round of golf, and he, believe me, he's like a four handicap. So it's not easy.
Yeah.
And he said if he beat me in a round of golf and I shot 79 or lower in a tournament of golf, he'd take me out to Pebble Beach, which I'm very fortunate for. And, you know, I started off, I think the front, I went 44 on the front. I think I'm doing the math correctly. So 41 on the front. Okay. So I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, I'm five over. I got to shoot two over on the back if I want to shoot this 79. And I was playing par golf for most of the round. I made a bogey on one of the holes. And I finished with a birdie on 7, par on 8, and a birdie on 9. So we finished on the front 9.
Yeah.
And I get off the course, and I sign my scorecard and everything and turn it in. And the first call I make is to my dad. I'm like, Dad, book the trip. We're going to Pebble.
Wow. That's awesome.
So that's probably my most memorable so far.
That was in a tournament, and you finished 2 under on the last 3?
Yeah. I probably finished 6th overall in the tournament. Awesome. I think one of my former teammates, Tyler Traxel, won with Jacob Trevino.
Okay.
One of my closer teammates and close second. So it was a pretty memorable day overall. Wes Dixon, one of my former teammates, he finished, I think, 3rd. So that was good to see.
It's awesome.
Yeah, so it was a pretty memorable day of golf.
Yeah, and so then you booked have you gone yet?
Oh, yeah, I went over Thanksgiving. Yeah. So that was pretty memorable and pretty fortunate to have that experience.
How many rounds did you play over Thanksgiving, and where did you play?
So we flew out Thursday on Thanksgiving. And for our Thanksgiving dinner, we had just some pasta, some room service.
You know, I don't even like turkey that much.
I know. I'm not a big fan of Thanksgiving dinner, to be honest.
It's really overrated.
And
why do people like it so much?
Does
your family agree?
No, my family is huge turkey eaters.
So they were they? Like,
my dad wasn't that mad. I mean,
was it just you and your dad who went, or your whole family?
Yeah, it was just me and my dad. We were trying to get my grandpa and my uncle to go, but unfortunately they could not. But so we woke up on a rainy Friday morning and we played Spyglass, and that was pretty memorable, just for like all the views and everything.
Yeah,
but it was playing really tough, and unfortunately I shot 93. Okay. So probably my worst rounds of the year, but it was really tough course. And then Saturday was the more memorable round at Pebble Beach, where I shot 78, so another pretty memorable round. And I beat my old man, so that's always pretty memorable.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we also played like 14 holes at Spanish Bay.
That course is cool, too. And I never played any of those. I just looked at them.
Yeah, it's a must go trip.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit surprised your, like, that tournament round that brought you to Pebble was more memorable than the actual Pebble.
I mean, they're both pretty memorable. I just felt like I was more in the zone at Lake Bluff. And yeah. I met there was this kid I was playing with. Unfortunately, I cannot remember his name, but I saw him all over the high school season. And he's like, "Oh, you're that kid who shot 76 at that one tournament." And I'm like, guilty. Like,
oh, so he kept remembering. Talking to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you became famous?
Yeah, I guess so.
Because he remembered your name. Do you even know what school he's from?
He's from Zion.
He's from Zion, but you don't know his name. Like,
I feel bad.
You don't know his name, but he's a really nice guy. He knows your name, obviously, if he keeps bringing that up.
Yeah.
So,
unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, like those times when, like, some random guy gets paired with Tiger and
yeah,
he doesn't
exactly.
know if it's the photographer or someone he's playing with.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of what it's like for you now.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. Great. Well, Sam, thank you for sharing.
Thanks for having me.
Yep. Bye.
All right, yep.
Finally, we have Peter Donahue here. Peter, what was your most memorable round of 2018?
Well, I think it was around that I played at the Highlands of Elgin in September with my wife. It was a golf course that we hadn't played before. I'd heard a lot of good things about it. And so we got a time out there on a weekend. The two of us got out, and we got paired up with two guys who ended up to be delightful. One of them was a 30-something named Neil, and the other was a 50-something named Ed, who, had it all going. He had a push cart, which I think is a terrific way to move around the golf course, you know.
Yes.
And these new ones are terrific. And he had music with him. So it was a little bit – I hadn't been used to music before, and sometimes it was a little – a bit of a distraction, but actually, you know, quite delightful. And and we got up on the first hole, and the 30-something. I'm one of the things that made this memorable for me is that part of my experience with golf now is aging. You know, it's getting older. Mm-hmm. You know, losing distance. Fighting stiffness and kind of weakness sometimes. And so, you know, you go to the courses and you're not really sure, there's the golf course that you're playing and walking on, and then there's a golf course that is you and your mind and body. And so that becomes a definite feature. And so I got out there to the golf course feeling I had been playing all my golf this summer left-handed. Really up to about this time, and so I decided that I wanted to try to play right-handed and try to see if I could swing without pain, and so when I got to the golf course, the idea of being overmatched by it by the day, because it was a very windy day, and so I got out there very tentatively. And the guy that I'm playing with, this 30-something guy, the hole is 430 yards from where he's playing it, and he hits this. I'm standing back there with him, and he hits it, and immediately I can't see it.
Yeah.
So I have no idea, and so I go up, and I hit my drive from a forward tee, and then my wife hits her drive from a forward tee, and we go out in the fairway, and we're all looking for balls, and we hit our shots, and we go up, and we look down by the green, and he's chipping the ball from about 10 yards off the green. And I said, is that his second shot? My wife said, oh, no, it couldn't have been.
Wait, were you playing with Dustin Johnson?
I mean, really, this guy had Dustin Johnson length, and so it was awesome to see him,
wow.
You know, play the second hole's a par five, and this guy – I'm doing everything I can to hit the green in 3.5 shots, and he's, yeah. like, hitting it in 2.
Oh, and this is the guy with the push cart and the music?
No, this was the other guy. This was the young guy. The 50-something guy he had the music. He had it all going. And he was a very game competitor. He wanted to play from the back tees with this young
Johnson.
Strong guy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, everybody was there having fun their own way.
Yeah.
You know, we were playing from different tees. And it was memorable for me kind of for some part for that, because You know, I'd get to the hole and I'd look at the condition, you know, where the wind was coming from and stuff, you know, and say, you know, I think I'd like to play it from this tee. And so it wasn't like the same tees. It was like it was
deciding each hole.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. Based on what kind of a challenge I felt up to. And it was so it was around where I start off kind of stiff and rusty. And yet I am accepting of that and resourceful. So I'm, you know, the first hole I end up hitting a 7-wood from about 155 yards out of the thick rough, and I knock it on the green, and it's like I have an appreciation for that because it was a shot that was it was a great shot,
yeah.
It was a great club selection, and to be able to execute a you know a straight shot out of there and put it up around the green and save par, I thought. You know, yeah. And so I get into the round, and I'm really kind of uncertain and sort of assembling my swing. And so I'm treating every shot with a high degree of, I would say, care, you know, without taking an inordinate amount of time. And I'm managing, you know, to kind of get my physical body oiled up, and I'm hitting pretty good shots out there. But I'm having to think about you know how I'm swinging it because you know my move wasn't I would say my move always needed assembling and here I wasn't warmed up and in the driving range I'm assembling it as I'm playing on the golf course so I get into the round and I'm kind of morphing you know from being uncertain and assembling to like. Being assembled, and now I'm confident, and that confidence grows throughout the round until, you know, at the end of the round, I'm hitting shots that are better than the 30-something guy.
Wow,
you know, and you know, and more importantly for me, they were at the very top of what I would say, you know, my capability of you know solid ball striking and hitting it where I'm aiming. And I was especially appreciative of they have these their greens are very big and rolling, very dramatic up and downs and this way and that way. And I got a really good routine going that day. I handled the greens well. You know, I'd stalk the putt and then I'd really do a good job of imagining the ball rolling. Up that particular slope and then, you know, feeling it through my rehearsal. And I just did a terrific job of putting the ball, which is a joy, you know, when you're able to.
Those are my favorite days when you're putting well.
Yeah.
I don't you usually you think like it's driving or irons, but if you make some long putts or even are doing well.
Yeah, feeling the distance and, you know, reading them, reading big curves or big slopes up and down. I think, you know, the ball that's going up the hill and goes over the crest and now is coming down the hill and meets
it's tough
the
to judge.
That's a tough one. And
because how do you know?
How do you know?
You just
that's what I think, by the way, you know, is the future of, you know, what we're how we can expand in the cube here. I think that having a putting course that had those great challenges on it and
like with a little bit more distance than we have now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If we had another 5,000.
5,000 square feet.
Yeah. That's what we're going to do
we'll
with
just
that.
Just make it on the roof.
there you go. There you go.
I'll just wear some hats. It's been a warm winter. We could have had some outdoor days
I mean,
up there.
I'm for it.
Yeah, so this guy you were playing with who brought music, did he ask your permission to play the music?
No, he didn't, which was interesting.
He just went for it with three strangers, and he just played his music.
Yeah, he did. He just played his music, and it was, and it was sometimes it was a little bit intrusive, but it was just kind of like having a fly buzzing around your head or something. It was just a part of it that. You know, when it was at a moment where, and I can't think of when it would be. Well, it was a tee. It didn't matter. He had it going on the tee. He had it going everywhere. So,
I don't know.
You know, as long as, you had to kind of get in with it or get it out of your head somehow.
The music's kind of getting popular, but I don't know. I feel like golf is one of the only places where you don't have some noise going on. which is part of why I like it.
But. You know, and you make a good point. And I, you know, and the way I took it that day was simply that, you know, I never experienced anything. You know, I hadn't experienced that kind of golf before, and so I thought, well, you know, I'll just, this is different. You know, I won't. It wasn't enough of a distraction to say, you know, I can't do this.
Yeah.
You know, if this was the buzz of a crowd or something that you might have in a tournament, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's just something.
I mean, I suppose if you were a lesser person, this story would end with you smashing a speaker on hole 12 with your 7-iron because,
exactly.
You know, you had to blame something.
But exactly.
Sounds like you had the enlightened way, the enlightened approach to it.
Well, you know, it was, I went there, you know, I'm so glad to be able to play that kind of a golf, to get on the golf course and actually to get better as I'm going. And I know it comes from the things that, you know, that I've practiced just insofar as, you know, controlling my attention and controlling the thoughts that are going on in my mind. And I used to, you know, not have as many good days as I have now. You know, and I'm looking at this list of golf courses that I played, and you know, there are other rounds and other moments out there that, you know, were just absolutely memorable as can be. I played with Chris and the Tullises at the Glenview Club, and that was just a fantastic day. Yeah. It was such a delight, you know, to be, you know, out with these guys playing that golf course and getting better. You know, as I went around, it was just terrific.
Was that something that makes a round stick out to you, like the feeling of getting better during it? You mentioned that twice about two of your rounds.
Well, you know, I think that for a guy, you know, like me, as I was growing up in the game, I mean, I would sabotage myself a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I was a guy that could turn a perfectly wonderful sunny day into, you know, cloudy blues, and so having ruined you know, a lot of rounds for myself, you know, over the, my younger years, and not wanting to waste my time that way, you know, you had to learn, you know, learn to think better thoughts and actually to find more, you know, to find more in the game. I think that, you know, you can stand up to a shot and know what the yardage is and just launch it, or you can, you know, really be in it and kind of imagining the whole ride of the ball and the spin of the ball and, you know, all kinds of tactile and auditory enjoyments of any kind of a shot.
You told me earlier this year you played like rounds on two separate days where you broke 80 right-handed and broke 80 left-handed the next
actually,
day. Is that what this
that,
was that part
actually,
of this one?
Yeah, Highlands was the first day, you know, and I was delighted to you know, have played such a good round and have gotten better at the end. I was making bogeys all over the place at the beginning of this round at Highlands of Elgin, and then I played, you know, even par golf for like the last, I don't know, you know, 10 or 11
wow.
holes, which was terrific. And then the next day, Marilyn and I went out at Mount Prospect, and I didn't want to press my luck. You know, I'd gotten some swings in, and my right side is the side that bothers me when I'm swinging. That's my breaks. And so I thought, well, you know, I'm not going to press my luck. I'll play left-handed. And I was surprised right off the first tee because my right-handed game had helped my left-handed swing because I made a much better turn and swung on a much better plane right off the get-go on the drive the next day and just creased this thing, right, the opening drive right down the middle of the fairway and just amazed myself.
Does that normally happen that you, you know, switching back between the two helps you get better overall?
Yeah. It does. I think there's something to be said for, you know, the hooking up to the, you know, doing things with your opposite side, you know, having to do with accessing different parts of your, stimulating different parts of your brain.
Yeah.
Because I think that, you know, I think that left-handed, I visualize, I have a clearer visual picture in my mind of the swing than I do on right side. But my right side, because I'm more coordinated when I'm, my hands are, can be lighter. You know, they can let the club whip and drift
a little bit. You've always been doing it.
Yeah, for a long, long time. Yeah. And I've, you know, I've kept the lefty, you know, is I can see now that training the hands, I have a kind of a clearer picture right now about how I would take myself through getting my hands better as a lefty right now. I saw it the other day when I was kind of swinging with the ribbon club and swinging with a hockey stick back there. I started to feel how I can exercise myself and get that, what I feel is very important, get the feeling of my left hand more adept.
Did you start playing lefty at all before you got injured? Or before it started?
Yes, I did. Yeah, over the years I did. I would, you know, I would play lefty from the standpoint of, you know, take a left-handed club out now and then and start practicing driving the ball or something like that. It was more of a little bit of a curiosity. Yeah. It's always been a curiosity.
So you've always been interested in this kind of connection and what you can learn from it in the other way.
Yeah, I really thought that as an adult, learning how to coordinate yourself, you know, from like scratch.
Sounds like hard work.
Well, yes, I think it is, but it's interesting work if you look at it that way. And I, you know, I think that you know, learning how to do something at a kind of, I want to call it a cellular level, you know, which is really just, I don't know, from the ground up, learning and building the different strengths and skills. I think it's interesting. It goes to Feldenkrais, the great movement trainer. You know, one of his master lessons is, you know, move in subtle ways to really teach yourself and to, you know, get down to subtle things. To me, you know, starting with a kind of a no coordination or very limited coordination and trying to and experiencing how you identify muscles and motions and then start marrying them together is you know, is an interesting orchestration. I mean, it's, you really, you are like learning different instruments and then orchestrating them together, which, you know, I think is, and then when you say, you know, can you hit that target? And you're able to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, holy, I think it's fun.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, it's cool to hear how kind of the stars aligned, you know, with the two rounds in a row, righty and lefty, of working together like that.
Yeah, yeah. It was, it really, I would say that it was very definitely that weekend, or those two rounds together was really what, you know, I've been shooting for, you know, for a long time. So it was like, and by the way, you can do this now.
That's great.
Yeah, cool. Thank you.
Well, yeah, thanks for coming. Thanks for sharing.
Clean contact.
I'd hit it again because that shot was a defining moment. And when a defining moment comes along, you define the moment.